So we pray. Heavenly Father, we realize that as we study what the prophet preached many years ago now, that it was at that time, even so is, the children are coming out and marching from Babylon into the promised land, into the millennium. We realize that. And as Balaam stood there being an actual prophet, he was able to say those things, Lord, which you gave him to say, and yet he did not realize that even that God who gave him that ability, the words in his mouth, was down there in the pillar of fire with the prophet Moses and the Israelites. He was present. And so today we have the same thing, Lord. Many people prophesying, many people qualifying, absolutely stand right there with genuine manifestation, yet don't realize the your presence here, the pillar of fire leading us into the millennium, though the prophets departed. The same God watching the people, building the house, keeping the city, getting us ready for the exodus and the return, and then the final consummation after 1,000 years. Help us to realize we are now in that, Lord, time and eternity having mingled. Teach us thy word, Lord, more perfectly. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, yesterday, last night, we started in... Does God change his mind about his word? And Brother Branham, of course, took us to instantly to the 22nd chapter of the book of Numbers. And he brought up there, the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And Brother Branham mentioned that that was, to him, the most important or unique outstanding portion of Scripture, which would seem to indicate, I said seem to indicate, that God could change his mind, having said one thing and then said another. And you'll notice when Balak sent his emissaries to Dr. Balaam, he had money in their hands, the promise of prestige and position and a lot of things going for him if he would divine. And that's the thought they had in mind, that this man was able to divine. In other words, he could just do something, and like something magical, you know, something that would cause certain forces that he had in his hand to go to work, and then this, whatever he wanted, would happen. And, of course, Brother Branham says that Balaam was not a soothsayer, or actually one of the people, or the kind of people that... Old Balak sent his emissaries to interview as though he were one of them. Now, you'll notice we took scripture last night where Balaam actually had the words of God put in his mouth. He saw visions, and he could only tell exactly what the vision said. And this is a long line with how God uses prophets of great stature, of which Balaam was a prophet of God of great stature. But he was not a word prophet, as was Moses. And you'll find then that this man actually had a ministry. He had an anointing from the Holy Spirit, just even as today, and it's mentioned for this hour that this type of person would exist. In fact, a lot of them would exist, where they would be anointed, but not according to the word. Their prophecies and those things would be fine. You couldn't put a finger on them. But it would not be a true prophet of God in the sense as Moses was the true prophet of God and Mr. Balaam was truly a prophet of God. Now, there's a big difference being a true prophet of God and truly a prophet. In other words, we're saying here, you can't deny the man was a prophet. But neither can you turn around and pit him against Moses and say, look, he was on equal footing with Moses and he was just fine. No way, shape, and form. Remember, the pillar of fire was not with this man. The pillar of fire was with Moses down there and the children of Israel, but he was positively anointed to bring forth that word. Now, I want you to notice also that the scripture mentions that Balaam took up his parable. And I might explain a little bit to you about that. To take up his parable, the actual word parable indicates an authoritative position as well as an articulation which would follow concerning words. So what you see what Balaam did in the two times, it says he took up his parable, and that's in that's Numbers 22, I guess. I'm going to try to get as rapidly as I can get into this. And in chapter 23, in verse 7, he took up his parable and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. Now, what the man did was put himself in the atmosphere of the position which he literally enjoyed from God. In other words, he took upon himself an authority to move into that realm where God would begin to actually speak through him. And he took up his parable, and you notice how he started. And he says, taking up his parable could be the spoken part, having taken his place as authority, putting himself in position, he began speaking. Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram out of the mountains in order to curse Jacob and defy Israel. Now, with that having been said, he launched into the prophecy of God that God put in his mouth, which was entirely different from his own thinking, because he was willing to curse Israel. He was willing to take the money. In fact, when God told him, don't bother to go down, and Balak sent another emissary, and Balaam was so hot for money and for prestige, and you can understand that. Here's this poor old boy out in the sticks there. He's out in the desert, and he's a prophet of God in that particular area and position which God indicated, absolutely. Now, he wasn't the true prophet of God, but truly a prophet, and no doubt he didn't have very much, living out there with the cactus and the bugs and the heat and everything else and the cold at night. And so when the chance came for him to go to the king's palace and be somebody and get something, well, no wonder he said, now, Lord, I've got a great opportunity here. And so he actually put himself in a position of his authoritative position to receive from God, hoping that he would be able by God to have these things out here which are of no consequence and will perish with the use thereof. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. He took up his parable. Now, I told you this before, so listen again. A long time back in looking at Balaam and knowing from my own experience, and I can tell you about it, maybe better tell you about it first, when I used to discern. Well, how do you discern? You simply take your authority. You simply take up your position. And you open yourself to God for him to show you or to let you know what is there. Now, that may sound strange. But if you know what I'm talking about, don't try it, because I taught a lot of people to do this, and it always backfired, because I wasn't supposed to do it either. All you do is the same little thing as if I were to say, hey, do you know what exactly the time was I woke up the first time last night? And you know what you do? You open your minds to listen to what I'm going to say, and you have no thoughts of your own. You're waiting for my thought, right? That's exactly how you do what I'm talking about. Now, don't try to do it. It isn't going to work for you. So what Balaam did, he immediately put himself in a position of neutrality. And he said, I've been called to curse. And he waited to see if he could, what was going to happen. And from his own mouth came blessing. Now, knowing what I have just said, and knowing from my own experience, I said to Brother Branham one day, Brother Branham, you know, I believe that these prophets knew something. They had a key whereby they could simply come into the prophetic realm and the Spirit of God operate. He said, and I said, because Balaam evidently had some kind of a key. He said, certainly, Brother Bale, he took up his parable. I take mine up too, but I won't tell you the words I say. So, all right. This is what you're looking at. This man was a prophet. He was looked upon as a diviner, which I am sorry to say he might have actually tried to play both sides of the fence. I don't know. But I do know that he demeaned himself and God by wanting something for it. The fact that you've been given any commission of God is reward enough without expecting anything other than sacrifice and trials and tribulation, which will enrich you and enhance you by building your character and giving you that wonderful thing that is called patience. So, we see here that this man definitely was a prophet and of some great stature. Now, Israel had come out of Egypt, the same as we have come out of Babylon, Israel typing the bride, while the Midianites, the Moabites, especially the Moabites here, are typing the world church. And notice that both of them are worshiping God. It is not to say for one minute that the church, world church in politics represented by Moab, had a definitive revelation, because we know that they did not. But the bride does have the revelation. And we see the church at the end time, the Babylon church as Moab or Egypt, because it's all the same. And we see our destiny is to come out of her, out of the Laodicean lukewarm church, into a rapture, and then come back and take over the earth in the millennium. Now, Brother Branham mentioned here that the Moabites started by Lot's own daughter, because his daughter had a son by him in order to perpetuate the father's name. God was not the author of it in the sense that God wanted that, but it was allowed. And those things were in the foreknowledge of God to the extent they had to be a part of what is going on, but they were not in the foreknowledge as to the spiritual and divine and physical election. They were in a physical, but they were not in the divine, because you notice they get burnt up. There is no eternality there. Anything created has an end. Only God has eternal life, and we have a portion of that by birth. These people did not have that, but they were religious. Now, they could not compare with the seed of Isaac, which came by Abraham, because Jacob was called Israel, which was a prince with Almighty God. Now, in paragraph 78, Brother Branham says, 77, he begins to type the fact of worship back in the time of Cain and Abel, bringing it up to the time of Moab and Israel, and then we bring it up to this point because Brother Branham goes on in this sermon. And when you look at what Moab here, in the light of Israel, Moses, and you look at today, in the light of William Branham, we find Brother Branham telling us that what caused the problem back there is the problem that started with Cain and Abel, is the problem right now, which is competition. Competition based upon jealousy. Even as Satan was jealous way back there of God, even though he led in the worship of Almighty God, along with Michael, who at that time, as Brother Branham told us, was called Jesus, or Jesus was called Michael, leading as the mighty archangel leading in that particular time. Now, he said, yet Cain and Abel worshiped the same God, built the same kind of altar. Now, here's what I'm driving at. But Cain, by carnal reasoning, brought in the fruits of the land and laid them upon the altar as sacrifice, thinking that surely this would answer to God for an atonement. So he must have brought in, as people think today, apples that Adam and Eve took that caused sin or whatever. I think they got it down to pomegranate. They actually was apricots or something. And some of them said not long ago it was something else. Now, what has caught my attention here, and which is so important to me, is the fact that Brother Branham said, carnal reasoning brought in the fruits of the land. Now, He is talking about, to begin with, Balaam. So therefore, Balaam was using a carnal reasoning, the same as Cain did back yonder, instead of the true specific revelation of Almighty God. Now, carnal reasoning. Let's just think of carnal reasoning for just a second. To begin with, you cannot find the terminology carnal reasoning in the Bible, but it is there just the same, because the word reasoning is in the Bible and the word carnal is in the Bible. Now, in this particular paragraph, which I read here, number 78, Brother Branham begins then a very critical and crucial study that especially pertains to this hour of the restoration of God's Word and true worship under the headship of Almighty God in the form of the Holy Ghost, yet coming by a prophet. Now, because this is the hour of the ego revelation, this is what you're looking at. But it is also the hour of the brindle horse. Remember, there are four beasts and four beasts. The one beast that is Antichrist is a white horse, is a red horse, is a black horse, is all poured into one, which is brindle. Because a brindle horse is red, black, and white. It's a complete mixture. Now, Brother Branham did not understand the word brindle in the Bible when he said it's all poured into one. Because the Bible merely says it's a pale horse called death, but the word in the Greek is brindle. And he said it's poured into one. So therefore, what you will notice, at the end time, at the time, going from the lion to the ox, to the face of the man, to the eagle, the revelation of the prophet is confronted by everything which is wrong poured into one church system. In other words, when they got off the mark at the time of the Apostle Paul, where they had another Jesus, another gospel, and they had another spirit, at the end time, you have got a complete disaster. Because every single thing is poured into one. Now, if I had time this morning, I would take you through the seven church ages and the seven messages. And I would show you that every single one starts with a message to that church in a particular hour. And every time it ends, for those that to listen to the voice of the Spirit, he that hath an ear. Now remember, to have an ear is to have an understanding. And to have an understanding is to have a Holy Ghost revelation, because you can't get it otherwise. Now, in every single church age, you will see an error that starts and goes right to the end, and you will see a blessing that starts and goes right to the end. So at the end time, every single promise and blessing of Almighty God is wound up in the ego, even as every foul thing is wound up in the brindle horse, where the Antichrist system becomes all things to all men and is 100% carnal reasoning. Now, what is carnal reasoning? To begin with, Adam and Eve were in one singular spirit form body. They didn't have any flesh. Now, the word carnal is carnus, which means flesh. It's a Latin term. Although the world is full of Latin and Greek terminology, but the English language is 55% based upon the Greek. I mean, the Latin. So we look at the word carnal. And it's not the far-fetched terminology of sexual sins we're looking at in the Bible. We are simply looking at the flesh. Now, Eve and Adam, as spirit beings, could not reason carnally. They didn't have any sensations of the flesh. There was no flesh there. There was nothing to reason with. Everything was in solid black and white as spirit. Now remember, Brother Branham said, we bypassed our theophonic form, or that spiritual body that was ours, the spirit body. We bypassed it and came down here and sinned. And without the flesh, there wouldn't be any sin. You could not reason incorrectly. So therefore, if you have the Holy Ghost, how can you reason? You won't even reason. Now, you understand what I'm saying? Now, Brother Branham said positively here, but Cain by carnal reasoning brought the fruits. It's the same kind of reasoning that Eve had. Because the devil couldn't approach her and Adam and do one single solitary thing unless the flesh was there. And Brother Branham categorically said, and it is so true that we were put in this body of flesh whereby we sinned. See, we're bypassing the word body, but our own bodies become more and more word body as we die out to self and to sin, but never becoming a true word body. You couldn't. You got to wait for the resurrection, where the flesh absolutely is so thoroughly changed, there again there's no reasoning to it. Now remember Brother Branham said, Adam controlled the beasts and all those things just the way the Holy Ghost controls. And Adam was not caught in reasoning. He knew positively that reasoning was not allowed. He knew exactly what to do, and he did exactly wrong, and that's exactly where iniquity entered in, because he knew what to do right, and he wouldn't do it, which he should have put her away. So, we're looking at this business of carnal reasoning. Now, the carnal reasoning means then flesh or fleshly or of the flesh. And Cain made his mistake by reasoning according to the flesh. In other words, he did not get a definitive revelation even at the time when God manifested what the definitive revelation was by bringing it out in the open. Which was when you sacrificed the blood of a lamb or whatever animal was being sacrificed, the pillar, God came down, the pillar of fire, and the fire consumed the sacrifice. Showing that the penitent sinner was forgiven of his sins and God passed over and let him do that, you know, come out as though he were not guilty at all. Now, Paul uses the word carnal 11 times in the Bible, and it's only used by Paul and nobody else. Now, other thoughts are there, of course, that are referred to by other authors, but the word carnal is there, and the word carnally is there just one time. Now, let's get some examples of that word carnal just for a second, although we've been talking about it. And we go to Romans, the 7th chapter, and in Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 14, it says, for we know that the law is spiritual, and I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, the law is spiritual. The law of God is spiritual. Telling you then it must be apprehended on a spiritual basis, and only in the spirit can it be fulfilled. Because this man says, I'm carnal. But the law is spiritual. So what happens? There's a fight going on. There's going to be a fight. Now, something has got to give. See? Now, Paul says here, for that which I do, I allow not, and that I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. So, there's in this man, there is an overriding power that nullifies the spiritual atmosphere and the spiritual power in him. See, as soon as Adam came into flesh, he was in a different realm entirely, and now he's operating in that particular sphere, and there's nothing you can do about it. You've got to operate in it. Now, if I do then that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, he's telling you right there, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, there's something in there, in this man's flesh, that is not in the spirit. In other words, the spiritual part of him, it's not in him. Because in the spiritual part, he positively recognizes the truth. But in the physical part, he doesn't live it. As I've said before, there's only one person ever lived the word, and that was Christ, and don't you even try to think you can. Now, try hard as you can to do it. But don't have any harebrained ideas like these Methodists that went to seed under poor old Wesley, and they say, and the Nazarenes, you can be sanctified holy and the root of sin taken out. That is the stupidest jackass thing I've heard in my life. Number one, you're a liar. Number two, you can't live it and don't live it. Where are they today? Brother Branham in his vision saw the Nazarene preacher kissing, making love to a corpse. Oh, God. They've hauled undertakers in for doing that, and they lost their license, put in jail. You know that? Let's get very blunt. I'm a very blunt preacher. I'm pornographic. I'm sorry. But I call a state because that's the truth. That's the Nazarene church. They committed blasphemy, the unforgivable sin, when they said tongues were of the devil. Tongues are not of the devil, though the devil's bunch can use them. We'll find out something about that as a readout of harvest time to you, too, if we ever get there. Put a 3-hour tape on, we'll cancel Wednesday service and next Sunday. Just stick with, I'm just kidding. For I know that in me, that's my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. He didn't say that about his soul. He couldn't say it because John said that which is born of God can't sin. Long as Adam was right in that spirit form, there's no way. But we bypassed that spirit body and entered into a body that could sin and did sin. And now the final word comes in the last age, you didn't even do it. That's exactly right, we didn't do it. We were tricked. Then there's a higher order above that. Notice how God fulfilled his own desires by letting the devil come in there and trick around. Now it all falls back on the devil. Church is doing the same thing. I hope you caught what I'm saying there. Brother Branham distinctly told us, quoting Irenaeus, that God being a Savior, he must predestinate a man to require salvation in order to give himself reason and purpose of being. And the devil comes and fills the whole thing right there. It is. So I hope you're getting what I'm saying here. All right. For the good that I would do, I do not. The evil which I would do, would not I do. And now, if I did that, what I would not, it is no more to do, and so on. So he said, I see another law in my member, warring against another law. You see? Or wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me? Now remember, brother, the word of God here says here, he said, I admit, he said, if I delight in the law of God after the inward man, then I'm telling you the flat, he said, that the law of God is holy. And the law of God is holy. Then what is it that is bringing about this fall? It is the natural elements and desires by sensation that lies within the flesh. And the flesh positively has to eat, it has to drink, it has to sleep, and it has to have sexual relations if it's going to procreate, and it will give off waste. Now that's your definition of life. In a nutshell, there's about four things involved there. Now you can't get away from it. You see? Oh, just keep that in your mind. Now let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter. And you're reading in verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See? For they that are after the flesh, let's find out about this walk. For they that are after the flesh do mind, M-I-N-D, carnal reasonings, the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. In other words, feeding of the mind from two different sources. And remember, one is incompatible with the other. One is an enemy of the other. We're going to see that. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now that ought to settle right there. There's no way. Unless God does something, except the Lord build the house of labor in vain, except the Lord watch the city, the watchman watches, but in vain. But he said, you are my heritage, my occupiers. I'm going to see you through. And all of you, though born of flesh, don't worry about it. You come by way of the womb. Eve is the mother of all living. He said, that is actually my way. And Brother Branham categorically said that copulation is a righteous act. And the fruit of the womb is his. That's why there's only actually one real type of birth control that Brother Branham brought out. Although some cases there's others which would be allowed by a prophet that I'm not a prophet. I can't say anything about. I'd enter right into a carnal persuasion for me to do it. Step outside the Word. See? So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are, listen, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You're right back there. If so be the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That tells you right there. Now watch. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead. I don't care how many times you're born again. I don't care how many times you're filled with the Holy Ghost day by day, overflowing. You are going to die. You're dead. Unless God does something at the end time. And that's a great mystery. So you see, people say, well, if I believed in divine healing, I'd believe that man couldn't die. And call himself a Bible student full of the Holy Ghost. Carnal reasoners. They're no more born again than nothing. See? All right. You could read on yourself some more if you wanted to. But it's all right. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And you're going to see what I'm talking about here, 100%. I've read it to you before. I've done it. And I'm going to tell you, men like T.L. Osborne, quote this, and then fly right out of the ballpark. I know what I'm talking about. Now Paul says here, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Oh, brother, sister. You know what that fella did? He stood there like Balaam and took up his parable. And he said like William Branham, you couldn't hide if you tried. I challenge you. Stood right there. You think the Bible doesn't run in continuity and he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever? It's time you change your thinking. And realize we're dealing with God. And he's dealing with us as with sons. Praise the Lord. Now listen. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now they say, he said, I step right aside and take my stand as that vindicated prophet of Almighty God. That no human being can take upon himself. Oh yeah, they tried. You see where William Branham was coming from in this message? People don't want to believe what we teach. Ah, that's okay by me. Praise God they don't. Right after quit believing what I'm believing. Believe something else. Couldn't follow Joe Smith because he's crazy and hoot out. He's got millions following him. Get away from the throng. Get with the eight. See? Now, watch what he says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down reasonings. When that man stood there with the pillar of fire, with the vindication and works of a prophet, the reasoning of man was gone. The power of the enemy was cast down. The saints of God stood liberated, and they didn't even know it. Didn't even know that our warfare was consummated. When he came on the scene with the pillar of fire and the word of the living God, our warfare is consummated because there's rest. And we simply stand with what has been vindicated, and it cannot be done with anything in the human senses whatsoever or by the human senses. But neither can it be understood through the process of the senses, the reasoning. Casting down reasonings. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What's the high thing that exalts against itself is the knowledge of God? The mind. The highest part of your body is your head. And up there is your mind. And if it is carnal, if you are not going to take the Scripture as revealed by vindication, you will have to believe something else because you're on the trail of believing. Now, if Cain had walked off and said, ha, there's no God, forget this worship, that walked off, he'd have a million times better. But he stood right there and he said, I'm going to worship God and I've got my own understanding what sacrifice and worship and everything else is. And when God had vindicated, he was so blind he couldn't see because he was led by a blind person, which was the devil, the beast. Completely blind to the things of Almighty God. And you know why he was blind? Because he said, I see. When the Pharisees came to Jesus, they said, are we blind also? He said, you wouldn't be blind except for the fact you said, you see. He said, you're blind. And he said, now your sin remaineth. So therefore, when a person says, I see, in his carnal mind, which is opposite to the revelation that God has given by vindication, that person's sin remains. There is no sacrifice for sin. Come on. I can prove that by the Bible. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Let's take a look at it. I've read that many, many times. Still, I know just where to turn to it, I do believe. And it said, if we sin willfully, 26, after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. It tells you right there that you've already had a sacrifice and you've turned on the Word. Therefore, there is no sacrifice. So tell me then today, is the blood off the mercy seat or isn't it off the mercy seat? I'm not using carnal reasoning. Wait till I read the letter. I won't get to it. Have three tapes ready. How long can you stay? It's how long I can stand up here. I don't know. Casting down reasonings. What reasonings? The weapons of their warfare. Then they said, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm this. I'm that. They never went to the complete vindicated Word. And Paul said, when I stand before you, I'm going to stand as that man that stands right there with my parable, taking my authority, and you watch what I do can't be done outside the Spirit of God, even though it comes in a human vessel baser than anybody. You know, people don't want to believe that. They got some puffed up ideas, some hoity-toity, nicey-nicey. His brother Brandon said, you're 23. Amen. Maybe it's amen. Was it Macbeth who said, I could not say amen? Or did Macbeth say, I could not say amen? Depending on how you feel and how you're taught. So therefore, imaginations are reasoning. They're carnal because they go against the Word. The revelation. So here we learn why Brother Branham called the worship by Cain based on carnal reasonings. Cain's mind, and hence his plan or program of direction. The way he was going to go and did go concerning his relationship to God, he did not receive a revelation from God's Spirit, but was controlled by his senses, which were physically based. He was controlled by his senses, physically based, because he turned down what God said. You follow me? Okay, Romans, the first chapter. Now, I'm preaching hard up here, and I hope you're going to stick right with me. Because what I got to say is very, very important. Not because I'm saying it, because Brother Branham said it. In verse 18, first of all, 17, for he mentions it. For 16, Paul mentions, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. That would be the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. Now, don't forget that verse when I read what Brother Branham said later on. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. If you're justified, you've got to have the revelation. Now, you're going to live by revelation. If you live by revelation, then the life of God is in the revelation, which is the Word. And I say, Brother Bailey, using carnal reason, I'm just telling you, as the Bible said, my word is spirit and life. I'm not going to use any carnal revelation up here, carnal reason. I'm telling you what it is. Now, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they hold it back, is what the Greek says. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. There again, Clarence Thomas was right on natural law. You think Kennedy didn't know that his drunken sprees and all his crap down there in Florida was wrong? He's even confessed it to get more votes. Do you think Biden didn't know he'd use somebody else's material and plagiarism? And I'm not against those men. I am, really. I got no, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. But I'm not going to make a duel with them. But to expose them, I'll do anything in my power. Look at the truth here. And yet, what Chalmers says was true. They couldn't stand an uppity black man. I hope he becomes it, not because he's black, but because of what he said. And I don't care what he did. That's his business. But I don't believe for one second he did all the things they said he did. Now, that's my opinion. My opinion would be 100% wrong. That's carnal reasoning. But I hope he stands there amongst those judges and said, you know, by natural law, what is wrong. There's a higher authority that put this all out here. I'm glad the guy had guts and smart enough to stand right there. He'd be a good man to pray for. I don't waste your time praying for the rest. Now it says here, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. They are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, their own reasonings, and the foolish heart was dark. What does it tell you right there? When there was a genuine revealed gospel, they turned it down. And they substituted, because they got to substitute. Then you've got humanism and God knows what. Even atheism is a religion, whether you want to believe it or not. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of God and so on. And next thing, they unclean hearts dishonored their own bodies. Where is homosexual more rampant than today? Change the truth of God in life. Worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them vile affections. Vile affections. Can you think anything is more vile than men with men committing homosexual acts? If you can think of anything more putrid and revolting and disgusting, I want to know about it. Gee, merciful God. Yet the Supreme Court, too many of them, I hope none of them, but there are no doubt some inclined that way, and our government thinks nothing of it, it's just fine. Human reasoning started when they turned down revelation. As long as we're in this human body, it's going to be more and more and more and more trouble. As Brother Branham said, there's nothing left in the soil if the body goes to much more of the brain. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave more to reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. They have now gone from acts of sex, which are totally degrading acts of sex, to anything whatever. Bestiality, brutality, filthy singing, there's nothing left. If you think there is, you're crazier in a hoot owl. You've been putting your head in the sand. Let me tell you about the ostrich. I learned about the ostrich in school from the so-called reputable people, the teachers and everybody else. When the ostrich got scared, it stuck its head in the sand. A man by the name of Viljamer Stephenson, who was an outstanding Arctic explorer, came by in a Chautauqua performance, and I just loved to hear those lectures and anything I could because I've always been interested in education. And he said, now listen, he said, you were taught about an ostrich sticking its head in the sand. Why, he said, how stupid could you get? He said, if an ostrich stuck its head in the sand and a lion came by, he would bite that ostrich's head off just close enough to the sand so he wouldn't get sand in his teeth. Solve my problem. No matter what the teacher said, they're nuts. So I'm talking about this. People have come right to the place where they believe anything. It doesn't matter. Their minds are completely reprobate. They would not retain God in their knowledge. So now, therefore, they are completely gone. They believe the lie. They believe anything handed to them. Filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God. The very people in the pulpit hate God. You think they don't? Why, they love the God of their imagination, but they don't love the God of reality. Without understanding, covenant breakers, unnatural affection. They don't either. Implacable, unmerciful. There's a kid the other day shot his mother. He's a good priest who practices shooting a lot. And he said, well, he thought she was a deer in the yard. I said, they'll investigate that one. I bet the kid was mad and shot her. Now, I don't know that right to say that, as though I bet I know something. But, oh, he'd never get by me without looking at that very, very closely. Then, on the other hand, what about the poor one that got shot in the yard by those hunters up in Maine or somewhere? I forget, New Hampshire somewhere. Written up in the Reader's Digest and around the world. The man told his story. And when the man had no business shooting his gun in that area and killed that lovely wife and mother, leaving that poor man completely devastated and destitute, what did the jury say? Well, these people that move in here better be careful. That's New England. And the high is no better. No, God help us. Now listen, who knowing the judgment of God, that they that commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. In other words, the judge is here, and they don't give a rip. He's here, so what? And they don't even know who's here. Outside the sound of my voice, I doubt if anybody's even caring two bits about it. You folk here that believe the same thing. Now listen, this is a perfect picture, what I read here, of Cain in Genesis 4, where he turned down the revealed, manifested will of God. Now look, here's what you read about him in Hebrews 11 chapter. In the fourth verse, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So Cain had an excellent sacrifice. You can't put your finger on it and say, well, it was no good, as though it wasn't any good, but it wasn't right. Because he didn't divide right. See? Now, there it was. Now, over here in 1 John, the third chapter, you learn about Cain. And it says here, beginning, and we take this many, many times we've taken it, beginning at the ninth verse, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, watch it. Your body cannot be born of God because sin is in it. Then tell me what was born of God. Not your spirit, because that was allowed of God. You've only got one part left. And that's your soul. And you had to be a part of him to get here. In the divine election. To be born of God means to issue forth from God. And you as a person must have issued forth from God then in a seed form, which is exactly true. Because it says seed. Didn't it say seed? Huh? Because he's born of God, then we read a little further here. In this the children of God are manifest, and children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteous is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And he's talking about the seed here, because that's birth. We're called that seed. Now, for this is the message we've heard from the beginning, we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, that slew his brother. John was so full of love, he threw love in everywhere. But that's the trick of the Bible. Brother Branham said it's like a jigsaw puzzle. And the devil's trick is to get every man reasoning about love until he forgets what's being said. Now, love positively is in the flesh. Say, well, it's in the soul, in the spirit. I don't care if it is. I'm not going to doubt that for one minute. But I'm going to tell you something. It's in the flesh also, because it's got to be manifest. It's got to come through a channel. It is the flesh that warps it. So it's going to be in there now. In this eternal God are manifest. And whosoever doeth not righteousness is not a God, neither he loveth not his brother, and so on. Not as Cain was the wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now what was the evil work? Carnal reasoning. Instead of the revealed word of Almighty God, proved that he was of the devil. Now listen, can it be any plainer? Then this man coming right here on the scene with God the pillar of fire taken in a pillar of fire, taking his picture, and thus saith the Lord, and no man could hide, and the world being judged by Paul's gospel. Now, come on, I want to know. Oh, Brother Dave, you just have an overkill. That's what Jack Moore said about me. I have overkill. Well, he had underkill. He couldn't even see the prophet. I'd sooner be accused of giving more than not giving enough. I wish I could be accused of that, but I'm not. I'm like everybody else, greedy old dog. Marvel not, my brethren, the world hate you. Now listen, I'm showing you through Scripture this carnal reasoning, whether you caught it or not. Now let's go to the book of Jude. And in the book of Jude, the 11th verse, And it says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Now watch. Ran after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsayings of Korah. Now watch carefully. They left the revelation for their own thinking, getting around the table, discussing the word, and saying this, instead of the revealed word as given by the prophet. The next thing, they went into money. Absolutely the error of Balaam. Greed. They sold out for money. The third thing, they listened to the false prophets. They listened to Korah, who said, I can prophesy, though I am not the prophet Moses. And God said, and listen, the only time that Moses rose up, when they were out there sinning and doing everything in the wilderness, causing Moses a headache, and God said, Moses, stand back, I'll kill the whole bunch and raise up a nation new. He said, no, Lord, the Spirit of Christ wouldn't allow it. But let me tell you, when those men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rose up, Moses stood back and said, God, if they're right, kill me. If they're wrong, kill them. So I don't think a prophet would do that. Then you better think again. He said, don't let them die the usual death. This age will end in fire, my brother and my sister. Because it says they go from Cain to the derelict, greedy prophet who could prophesy correctly under an anointing, to the third place where they defy the prophet of the living God and the living manifested word, and they're burnt for it. I've traced my Bible through for you. What are you going to do about it? Can you sit here this morning in a neutral corner? Not as far as I'm concerned. Now, let's look at the 7th verse again. And as you do, remember the word in the Greek K, or chi, however you want to pronounce it, because I'm not a Greek student, can be used as a conjunction or a preposition meaning even. Now let's read it that way. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, even ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, even perished in the gainsaying of Korah. And I'm reading it right the second time because it is even. Because it's the same spirit, it's the same thing from Cain on down till today. Because this is today we are talking about. And you'll find it in 2 Peter. You'll find it in 2 Timothy. You'll find it in 2 Thessalonians. You'll find it all through the Bible, even the Old Testament as well as the New. For the seed in Genesis has to continue through the entire Bible until it finally ends up in Revelation 3 and 14 and right to 21. And in Revelation chapter 17, where John sees Babylon, and he marvels, what a beautiful, wonderful, magnificent system. Isn't this just what we needed? Everybody loving everybody, nobody having arguments and disagreements, and everybody sharing the wealth. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Oh, wonderful. And yet the next chapter goes on and said it's the evilest thing in the world. Yeah. Come out of here, my people. She's the church. Even as Dr. Hoyer told me, he said the word Vatican comes from the word Vatikain, which means the house of Cain. Oh, the Protestants like that. But they won't realize their daughters any more than the Catholic priest a while ago on the platform of Demas carrying the great big full gospel business munch. They stood there with all the Catholics around this Catholic priest and said, listen, I want to tell you Protestants something. He said, we are one with you, and don't you dare call Rome the whore. So now the Protestants can't call Rome what she is. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. No truly elect child of God is separate from a true revelation. If you're a true child of God, you've got to have a true revelation. Look what it says over here in John, in spite of the sacrifice. God so loved the world and so on. And he sent not his son to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now listen, it tells you right there, no matter what that sacrifice is, the name of Jesus Christ connected with the blood doesn't do you one bit of good unless you believe what is the light of that hour. Now, you understand that to be the truth. What we are talking about here, the light. Now this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So we're looking at light. And notice over here in the book of Ephesians. Now the Ephesians is the church in order. The Ephesian church is the rapture church. They're the ones that are going in the rapture. Now notice what it says in there, the 4th chapter 5 and 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Cain and Abel. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's the vain imaginations. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But you got to talk them, because they're all out in the open. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now let me tell you something. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So therefore, if there's going to be light, it's got to come from the light. And the life has got to manifest. And he manifested. He manifested what is light. He manifested what is truth. And when people back away from it, there is positively no more hope for it. For them. See, now let's go to 1 John. There's something in my mind that skipped me there, but it doesn't matter. Epistle to John. 1 chapter, 5 to 6. Listen to it. And it said, this is the message which we heard from unto him. Declare unto you that God is light. Now listen, if God is light, you got to go back to 1 John, the gospel. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And light has to manifest through something, or there's no way that God's going to tack anything onto you. Because the Bible distinctly says, in creation you can see there's a God. Then if you can see there's a God in creation, and yet that's supposed to hold you down, it holds you down until you get the true revealed gospel. You are not accountable to God or anything else until he gives you a revelation. Now, if you don't take it, that's your tough luck. Now, watch what it says. Declare that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us. And that's the only way the blood is available, is through the Word. Oh, listen, brother, sister. Can't you understand the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God? There's nothing that's made in this world that wasn't made by him. In him was life, the life's the light of men, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Nailed it right down, showed you absolutely God in human form, shows you God in his Word, brings the whole thing to pass, and nobody can deny it. Now, we cannot emphasize this too much, because we are in the days of Malachi 4, 1-6. You can't overemphasize this understanding of the carnal mind, wherein man will not let his own thinking go and simply take the revealed Word of God. Doesn't matter whether you understand it. Just believe what he said. See? Now, the hearts turned back to the Father's seat. Okay. Human thinking. We can't help ourselves, but when God does something about it, we'd better do something about it. In the book of Acts, the second chapter, 37 to 39, you will notice that Peter on the day of Pentecost stood up, and they said, men and brethren, what will we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It promises unto you, and to your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, Peter is called to go to the Gentiles. He's laid the formula down, which is repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, or Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ. Those various terminologies all brought into one, or Lord Jesus Christ. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But when he went to Corinth, almost against his will, because God gave a vision, and in the vision he saw this sheet come down full of, this basket come down full of creeping, crawly things. The voice said, "Rise, Peter, slay and eat." He said, "No." He said, "I can't do that because it's unclean." And he said, "Don't you dare call unclean, which God has cleansed." In other words, God depicted the Gentiles, a bunch of creepy, crawling things. And that's all they were. In other words, a blob of flesh, part of the animal kingdom, in the sense of recognition by Israel. Well, he goes there to Corinth. Now, you'll notice as Peter preached the word, those people who heard the word, foreordained of God, received the Holy Ghost, they were not baptized in water. I'll tell you something right there. Water baptism doesn't do for you what you think it does. It is not the washing away the filth of the sins or anything else, or the heart being made clean. It is a witness to Almighty God that you believe in Jesus Christ died, and you die with him, you rise again to newness of life, and you cannot have a new life until you're full of the Holy Ghost. The Gentiles didn't know one thing about anything. So God comes right on the scene, and he doesn't defeat his own word. He doesn't change his mind. Because the explanation of water baptism is reserved over to Peter. He tells you all about it. And Paul, in the meantime, later on in the book of Romans, he tells you all about a true baptism with the Holy Ghost, which gives you the life of victory where you can begin to change into a word body or the word figure that God wants you. The Holy Ghost giving us the victory. Now also, we might look over here and we see where Jesus Christ gave his disciples, even Judas, a ministry. How many people really understand that Judas, being one which God has chosen, but absolutely of the devil, and Jesus called him Diabolus, which means you are the devil, and he could cast out devils and raise the dead and heal the sick the same as anybody else did. And yet the word of God absolutely tells you that this is for the believer. He's letting you know something. That in spite of the fact the word of God says that, it does not put a complete corner on it, because it already tells you in the last day, God pours his spirit upon a double L flesh. And that means anybody and everybody who wishes to come under an anointing can come under anointing. And they'll show the same signs and wonders that anybody else has showed that's truly born again. So what I'm trying to show you here in Scripture, that as we look at the truth of the carnal mind, we have to recognize that the great danger amongst us is drawing our own conclusions. See? Now, if you were to take, repent, be baptized, and receive the gift, and you've got to stand on that, not understanding water baptism, its correctness, its application. Brother Branham said there's no altar call, there's a water call. And understand what the Word of God said about it. You then would have to say anybody that received the Holy Ghost without being baptized correctly, that person could not have received the Holy Ghost. You've got a carnal mind, because you see what you're doing? You're saying things based upon a conclusion. Now, if you're the Apostle Paul, and you were to say, since one died for all, then we judge that all were dead. That is true. Because you can never say one died for all if all were not dead. See, you're not drawing a conclusion. But it's a good thing to be a prophet to draw a conclusion, because there's not a conclusion there, it is a statement. He is just saying there to our reasoning. He said everybody was dead in trespasses, and he already said it. And he said one died for you and there's no more sacrifice for sin. He writes that in the book of Hebrews. But he could say that in the book of Romans. So the people would get a double dose of it, you might say. All right, let's go to a little more of the carnal mind. We're going to talk about gifts. How much time we got? 15. We'll try to make this short. Now, here's a nice brother writes me a letter. Now, let's see if you can understand where he makes his big boo-boo. And nothing against the man. I believe he's a good brother. I believe he can take instruction and everything else. Now, he said, from time to time, I listen to your message on tape. That means he doesn't hear all the tapes, so therefore he picks one and he's going to listen to it. So, of course, he's not going to understand what's going on. No way then I can take part of Brother Branham's sermon and understand unless I read the whole thing. Some months ago, I listened to tape, Satan's Eden Number Tell. There you preached to the espousal ministry of the church the word. I fully agree on that. The giver word is more as his possessions. Or I'm thinking means more than his possessions, as gifts. Rebecca Bride received first gifts, then met her husband, which was the one she looked for. Now, that's a very poor illustration. You're right back into Pentecost. Restoration of gifts, that's it. We're now ready for the bride, to be with the bridegroom. Can't do it. See, the word is he himself. But you said the gifts of spirit were messing up everybody. Now, that's what he gets doesn't agree with me on. Since the Lord Jesus gave and placed these gifts in the church, it is impossible that they should mess up the people. You see, there's an entirely fallacious argument. Doesn't he realize that Brother Branham said, if I give you my pen, I do not give you myself, it is merely a gift? There's where Pentecost is. Well, I spoke with tongues, I was understood. I cast out devils, I healed the sick. I just got to have the baptism, hallelujah. You just don't got to have. Let's hit this thing where it hurts. And the only place I can hurt is the hour of the day, which is sex. Homosexuality, forbidden acts, which God will sweep the world under the carpet and burn it up because of it. My Bible says so. I want to ask you one question. Were the sex organs of Adam and Eve of God? You say, no, they weren't. You're a liar. They were a God. Now, I want to ask you a second question. Did she understand and have in her mind anything concerning him? Evidently not. What about him? Let me ask you a little further. Whether you have to think of the subject or not, isn't it true that the very fact of your nature and your hormones, you have a natural arousal? I'm talking about your flesh now. If you were only in the Spirit, you would not have that. And it's only the Spirit of God can keep you clean. Not everybody, because some people are taught morals. But I mean in this life right here, you have to give into the Holy Ghost. Turn your head and walk with God, or you are in big trouble. See, this brother here doesn't mean wrong, but he's absolutely wrong on his premise. And you wait till I read something, and you're going to have to judge for yourself whether Brother Branham lied to us or not. Or whether we misunderstand what he said entirely. You cannot equate gifts to the Holy Spirit himself. See? Otherwise, why would Paul have had to put a church in order at any time at all concerning gifts? Because the Holy Ghost is always in order, as you will see. They are gifts of the Spirit, and God the Holy Ghost messes nothing up. He's 100% off the beaten track. He doesn't mean to be. They were given to the church mystical body for her welfare. He is not the author of confusion. It's where the people who misunderstand and misuse these gifts. I want to ask you, how come they had them to use and misuse them? Also, the Pentecost denomination, church in days past as in our days, Brother Branham said that the gifts came out of a dead word. But so far as I know, the Ephesian church had them in order. And in our day, we have the perfect interpretation of the word, including the gifts. Brother Branham said, the gifts, as it were, put on the shelf. They're making far too much of gifts. While I write this, I realize that the word of God is an eternal word, and there's no way by the human mind to understand it or reason it out. It comes by revelation. Now, he softens the whole thing, which is nice. So it is still possible that when you preached it, you saw by revelation from another point of view or saw it from another angle or another level while you preached. And that I misunderstood you. This, however, is on my heart. All right? You ready for it? Harvest time. He's talking about Satan. And he's talking about the church people. So he said, that's one of the words, and I can't take the other paragraph because I got to start where I'm I got to start somewhere. That's one of the words for the Bible said it's wrong for a woman to cut her hair. And they take it, they say it's not wrong, so therefore that's human reasoning. What's hair got to do with it? See, that's it. It's a commandment of God. That's what it is. I asked Brother Branham. I said, Bill, I've seen women with long hair. They could lick the jam off of a doorknob. Their tongues are so long. They remind me of an old cow I had years ago. She had that infuriated look in her eyes. She dashed across the prairie and me trying to hold her down. I said, I've seen them. He said, Lee, I never said it made him spiritually. He said, it's a commandment of God. That's all. Well, he put me in my place. I didn't take it, of course. I didn't still couldn't see it. Till later on, I began to realize, hey, well, this man doesn't deal in tiddlywinks. This man's a prophet of God. He must say something right about it. So I had to go along with him. Say, hey, he's got to be right because he's right every place else. Just ask any preacher to tell you what the word says. See, she dishonors her head. She dishonors her husband. She should be divorced. That's exactly right. For she that will cut her hair will also be shorn or shaven. That shows she's a prostitute, see? See, if she wants to do that, not with just Bob, God didn't do it that way. That's Mr. In-Between. Ha ha. See, don't fool with it. Either cut it all off or leave it grow. That's what God said. Any minister of the gospel knows that's the truth, whether you'll say it or not, but that's the truth. See, well, that's good. If you're going to do all the rest of them and leave that go, see, where does it leave you? What? There's just a little bit of worldly style in you trying to act just a little bit like the other churches. That's exactly where Israel got in trouble. That's where they died. That's where Adam got in trouble. That's where the rest of them got in trouble. Just one word. All it takes, just one point. Pottage mixed with the world. Some of the world, some of Hollywood, some of the church, some of theologians. What have you got? Notice that Satan fails there. Or here. Then he'll try a second scheme on you, getting you to disbelieve the word. Go to seminary. You try that scheme. Now here's where you want to be real careful. Just sit another 5 minutes on this part, if you will. Then he makes you a supernatural offer. I'm going to come back to this after a while. I won't go back to it because I've got it here though. See if he can't tempt you away from the word. No, I'm going to stay with the word. Then he's talking about Satan now. He'll give you a supernatural offer. He'll say, I'll tell you what, you get up there and jive off the temple and come on back up. See, show the people you can do something supernatural. Boy, he's got him right there. Now watch this. Watch when he got you to the end where this temptation came. Maybe he might let you speak in tongues. Think you got it, see? Now notice the person that took Brother Branham off the tape. He puts a capital H here as though it's God. But he puts a small H later on. Why? I thought Brother Branham's talking about the devil, not about God. Bible says you can't tell say that God tempts any man. He said, you're a liar. Bible says, lead us not into temptation. In other words, lead us around it. Brother Branham did that. Now he might let you, some of you speak in tongues, think you've got it, see? Or he might even let you prophesy, though it not be with the word. I've seen people stand up and prophesy what's contrary to the word is east and west, see? It's the word you live by. Them supernatural gifts Satan can just hand out by handfuls. Well, then, Branham, I think you're a liar. Go ahead and say it. What did I tell you about your sex organs? Who's a homosexual controlled by with these sex organs? Oh, I know some of you don't like this kind of preaching. I'm sorry for you. You're not living in a real world. That's your trouble. You won't face what's going on. This is the last sin. And she burns. And 25, 6 years ago, Brother Branham said, so many percentage were homosexuals. Boy, he missed that by a million miles in this hour. I said in this hour. He was right back there. I'm thinking he didn't have his statements right. Didn't Jesus say many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have I prophesied in your name and your name cast out devils? I've done mighty works. I've done great and wonderful things for my organization. I've done all these things. Depart from me, I never knew you. You that work iniquity. What is iniquity? It's something that you know that's right and you concede and won't do it in your heart. When you know that the Bible teaches a certain thing, you won't do it, that's iniquity. And David said, if I hide my iniquity in my heart, God will not even hear my prayer. Is that the truth? Is that the Bible? See, surely you couldn't get angry at me, see? Jesus said that. Many will come in that day and say, I've done all these things. I'll tell you, what did the devil do to deceive Eve? She had what she had to be from God.
My Bible said He fashioned and created them. My Bible says He's going to desire to see the work of His hands, and you can't find one place in the Bible where God did anything with His hands except make man from the dust by them. Everything else is spoken word. Now, if you want to fool with the preacher, don't fool with Lee Vail. Not that I'm smart and I know the answers. But I told a little while ago, I know how to stand back. I'll just wait and see if God will do something. Not a miracle. I'm not a miracle worker. I'm not a healer. I teach a little bit. How little? That's up to God. Same as did Adam. Adam said, Lord, I did this, I did that. Just one word. See, one word. That's all it takes to obey the word. Yes, maybe prophesy contrary to the word. But now, time he's got this supernatural gift. He's so carried away by the noise, by the glamour. Glory to God. I prayed so-and-so. Got up and walked. Hallelujah. Speak in tongues. Somebody interpret. It's genuine. Hey, it's the truth. I can speak in tongues like men and angels, yet have nothing. Faith to move mountains and have nothing. Do you mean God would give you something like that to have nothing? You say, how in the world can the devil do that? How could Brother Branham say the devil could do it? I'm asking you a question. Don't you know anything about the Bible? When the Bible said there's... Let me read it to you. Now you believe the Bible, don't you? Or the Bible. So let's read the Bible. So I don't make one mistake here. Get one word off the King James Version. And not that the King James Version is 100% perfect. But Brother Branham used it, and I use it too, but not for that reason. I've got 32 different versions I want to look up any time I talk, plus Greek studies and Hebrew studies. Now listen, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. And Brother Branham said, if you make the word Jesus, you've got three gods. So therefore, we're talking about God, Elohim, Jehovah, so on. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Every single thing that you see was made by Almighty God. I'm going to ask you a question. Could the devil create? By no means. He can only use what God has given. And the Bible said God looked upon every single thing, and it was good. And don't think the woman wasn't good, because she was out of the original creation. Because she's part of Adam. Taken right from substance and substance. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. The spirit that was in him. Don't criticize it. But what happened? The devil used that which was good. As Brother Branham said, what is a lie? Truth perverted. What is adultery? Righteous acts in the wrong manner. You see, you get down to the understanding here that the devil has God's permission because of man's sin in order to use all of these things, and those things in turn will betray the man because he's using carnal reason concerning it. Oh, God, have pity with people's thinking. I hope you get what I'm saying. And understand where I'm coming from. This man here is a fine brother. I believe he can understand. He says right in here, he said, maybe you're preaching from another angle. I'm just preaching what the prophet said. Here's what he said. Now you tell me that Brother Branham didn't say it. Now you say, well, explain to Brother Branham. I did my best, but I'm not in the explaining business. I'm in the believing business. Because I believe many times my explanation isn't too good. Satisfies me the best I can do, because I know I'm on the right track. But that's what we're looking at now, you see. These all come from dead works. It is the age of the shuck. See? And in the shuck, it looks like life, but it wasn't the real life. What was the real life? The ministry of the Son of Man. And when it came, they said, William Branham, well, he's just the super duper of us all. Hallelujah. And many will come in that day. I never knew you. We're before the white throne right now. So there you are. I'm going to quit right at this point here because I think I've covered enough. We're on page 16 and we're on paragraph 78 where Brother Branham tells you that by carnal reasoning, talking about senses, and if I get back with you again whenever I do, which could be next Sunday, I'll read another letter. Or I'm accused of being a carnal reasoner with a hard heart. Because I don't fall for the false anointing. For the guys that can pick their noses and think that they're really marvelous. I was around the prophet too many years. I saw those things you have no understanding and idea. Don't try to sell me anything, or I'll sell you out that door so fast your head will swim. Fool with yourself, but don't fool with me. And you stood there and seen miracles happen that defy the imagination. And I don't have an imagination left. I shouldn't have anyway by this time. Hard heart? If that's what it takes, give me a heart of stone to stand with the Word of God.
Amen.
A backbone like a saw log. To stay with what the prophet said. I don't understand these things. I don't know how God worked them all out. That's His business. My job is to believe what's vindicated. Not try to explain and not try to understand the reason. The minute I try to reason, I go right into carnal reasonings. And the Bible says, put down those reasonings which exalt yourself against God. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You again for Your goodness and mercy to us, Lord. Not trying to be hard against anybody, not trying to rip up any wheat with the tares, not by one minute. But Lord God, the questions keep coming and coming. Do we have a right to say this? Do we have a right to say that? We have every right to say, Lord, we believe if the prophet said it and put it in the context where the prophet did say it, and He put it right in the context of this hour. Put us right in the very position, the carnal reasonings, where they've all come from. And taking His word together, Lord, we realize that this is our problem. And Lord, in heaven, we know that our carnal reasonings stop us from getting healed, stops us from loving each other better, stops us from doing the good things that we know that we, in our heart, to do. All these things, Lord, are because we simply do not take Your word which has been revealed and vindicated to be true. Now, Father, we confess our sins this morning as we're supposed to. And humbly ask You, Lord, for forgiveness. Cleanse us of all iniquity, because we're in the position we do know better. And we will do better by the power that lies within us if truly we're baptized with the Holy Ghost, O God. And we look to You for help. Breath by breath and step by step, help us to get right down there. And realize our lives are hid with Christ in God. Greater is He than us and He that's in the world. And we can do all things through Christ who gives us inward strength for the battle that is here today. Sanctify Your children, Lord. If there be any unsaved among us, save them. We pray, O God, to realize that this is that hour of judgment. And fire and destruction will fall upon the earth. It can't help it. Because, Lord, we know that when You said fire comes down from heaven, You didn't say that You sent it down. As far as I know, You just said that fire comes down. If that's the truth, it could be atomic bombs or anything else doing it. Man doing his own destruction, man making his own way. Just like the ozone being cleared away, there's going to be more and more ultraviolet rays. And you know what, Lord, I don't. I'm not a scientist, and You're above scientists. Cook man to blisters. And Lord, You said at the end time they'd be burning and cursing You, gnawing their tongues in pain. No wonder the prophet said, I don't want to be a part of it. God, help us to so live in this hour of manifested grace and liberty and peace, an untroubled heart. All these things because of the vindicated word. Help us to live above all this life that's around us. To take the water of life, which has we see in Ezekiel's vision of the eastern gate, the water rising. It rose, Lord, to the ankles in the time of Luther, to the knees in the time of Wesley, to the thighs in the time of Pentecost, and now waters not just to swim in, but waters to carry us over. And it will. The water of the Word, Lord. Because You promised. As the prophet said so many times, I, the Lord, have planted a water list. Any man take it out of My hand. It won't be done, Lord. There's going to be a people get out of here. But people change, Lord. And by thoughts of grace this morning, we say, Lord, we are not going to miss it because we believe that You brought the word to us and we are not trying to change that word. God, we're trying to be one with it. Right down the line. And there would not be that in us, I do not believe for one minute, if there weren't a seed there answering back to it. Bless everybody, we pray. Heal the sick amongst us. Thank God, Lord, for some testimonies we've heard of some of the people telling us how they've been healed. We appreciate that. Lord, may the others be healed. Even as I want to be healed myself for one reason, to preach a little harder, a little better, to serve a little more, Lord. If I could somehow come into that area, I'd appreciate that so much. But your will be done in all things. Your grace abounds. Your love and life abounds. We do not fear, for the Lord is our refuge. No wonder the King, eternal, immortal, and visibly only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior.